Greetings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to another episode of TV Terror Talk, Fear Itself Edition. I'm Daniel Schein, the final.
All unaired episodes.
Yes. A lot of people haven't seen them, so I'm curious. Producer Todd Loya.
Good evening.
Pugs Dread.
Namaste.
And Mike Krueger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
It's been fun revisiting these. And like I said, I know there's a lot of people watching because we've been doing the shows and seeing them for the first time because they did not realize that Fear Itself did not complete its season. So I'm very curious to see how we fare in these last four episodes, which we'll get right into with our first one, which is episode 10. And it is Chance from director John Dahl and from writer Lem Dobbs, who has a hell of a pedigree because he wrote Dark City and The Limey, another fantastic film. And in this one, Chance Miller, played by Ethan Embry, who was in the very first Masters of Horror incident on and off the Mountain Road. And Chance Miller is a down on his luck guy whose luck goes even worse when he finds himself dealing with his evil doppelganger. So always a big Ethan Embry fan. I can safely say here at Flesh Wound, we are big Ethan Embry fans in general. Always saw the talent in him even 20 plus years ago.
I go back to Dutch.
Yeah.
Well, before he changed his name.
That is true. Yeah, I keep forgetting about Dutch. And
most people think Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was very popular.
I think Freaky Links. Though,
Freaky too. Links. That's yeah, the I was first gonna thing. Say. Yeah.
I didn't realize it was the kid from Dutch till later, but that's like the Freaky Links.
I'm sure he has some great Dutch stories. I've not met him. I would love to meet Ethan Embry. He's high on my list. So we've had the evil double. Any horror show or any anthology type horror show has certainly done the evil double episode. I think this one works really well because of Embry. He's an amazing actor. Bondi Curtis Hall, who plays Walter, the antique shop owner. Another, you know, may not know the name, but you've seen him in a lot of big movies. And I really dug this one. I thought it was really suspenseful. And before I dive too deep, though, Krueger, what did you think of Chance?
I thought the story was solid, and I liked how things just kept, you know, escalating more and more, you know, and, you know, shit got more fucked up for Chance. The ending, though, I thought was a little predictable and just, I don't know, I kind of wanted something a little bit stronger. I don't know. I think that's a kind of a common thing with these episodes is that like a lot of them have like a really good concept, but I don't think like the endings are the strongest. And this was another case of that. So overall, I don't know if I'd be clamoring to watch this again anytime soon, but I would say it's about average. I would say it's good for a one-time watch.
All right.
Okay.
I'm with Krueger here because everything else besides Ethan Embry is just okay. It has a really cool setup, and like I don't know, it kind of falls flat in the third act for me. But I think with a revisit, if they change the ending a little bit, I might be I'd like it more like you, Dan. But yeah, it was cool.
Did the suspense get you at all, though? I thought the whole thing with the alarm. I was rooting for him. Even though, you know.
I mean, I'm always rooting for him. But no, I wouldn't really feel suspenseful. I kind of saw it coming.
Okay. I'm surprised. I maybe. Well, Todd.
I'm with Dan. I really like this one. Did I see the ending coming? Yeah, but yeah. It was still a fun ride. I really did enjoy it. I think the performances are what nailed it for me. And I did really end up liking this one. I was first time on all these.
When he kept repeating those, like, but you told me 45,000. I was like, oh, dude, you got had.
Yeah.
Now, do you think it was a con?
Yeah.
I'm aware of very similar cons like that. I mean, I don't deal in $45,000 freaking vases, but I've heard from people who do like storage locker type stuff and then deal in antiques. It's very common. It's the way it was done here too, where you'll have somebody plant a suggestion and then shit like that happens a lot, and it's always kind of sad. But I will say, if I'm gonna risk that, I think it was 20 grand, I'm gonna really research my shit, and if I'm not confident enough, I'm just not gonna do it.
He had a gambling problem, so he didn't give a shit.
I know people with gambling problems, but what are you going to do? I don't know. It worked for me. I mean, I don't really disagree with you guys. It is that standard evil doppelganger type thing that we, like I said, every fucking show has had that episode. But I think it is Embry that raised it several notches, because I was invested through the whole thing. This one didn't bore me. It worked, the whole thing with the security guard and things just continually snowballing for the poor guy. I like this one a lot. I guess we can go ahead and any other closing thoughts before we rate this one?
No, let's rate it.
So I'm a 3.5. I actually loved it. I can't go any higher because, again, it's been there, done that, but it's done well, so I'm good.
Well, I'm a 3 out of 5.
Okay. I'm a 2.5 out of 5.
I'm a 3.5 also.
Sweet, mm-hmm. Sweet. All right, well, let's see how we fare on the next one.
Also, I did want to mention. Mm-hmm. I was going to talk about Ethan Endry's attempted struggle smuggle at the wife, but... You know what I think about that, so we'll just move along. You thought I was going to go that whole thing and not bring that up. Come on.
All right. So moving on to episode 11 from director Rob Schmidt, who definitely was due a redemption episode after that shitty zombie one. Writer and writer Joe Gangemi. And this is The Spirit Box. And in this one, Emily D'Angelo is a dead schoolgirl who speaks to her classmates from beyond the grave. She reveals that she was murdered and wants her friends' help to seek revenge. So another one actually takes place, opens up on Halloween, which was cool. And hell of a cast in this one. We got a very young Anna Kendrick as Shelby Johnson, the star of this episode. We've also got Mark Pellegrino as Mr. Drake, who's been in a million things, the devil and Supernatural, but also arguably the greatest film ever made, No Holds Barred, with Hulk Hogan. Played his little bro in that one. Martin Donovan's in here. Martin Donovan also was in Rob Schmidt's Masters of Horror episode, Right to Die, as the sleazy husband. We get some returning faces.
And shout out, if you go deep in the archives, we do a commentary for No Holds Barred.
Yeah, that's a ways back, but yes, we did.
Time for a new one. We need the wrestler perspective on that one.
So this one, I think he did get his redemption, because I actually like this one quite a bit. And with the twist, it actually went a direction that I was kind of hoping it would, because... you suspect someone pretty early, and obviously that wasn't the case, but
racial profiling, way to go.
No. Who did you think was suspected?
No, I think you suspected her.
No, I didn't. I figured, they're just going to go with the creepy gym teacher, and they surprised us. Obviously, again, Fear Itself, always spoilers, guys. But yeah, I dug this one a lot. You could see the future star that was going to be an Anna Kendrick, I think, because, she's kind of become the...
That other girl's pretty big, too. I think she was a Disney kid. She played Nora Allen. She's the Flash's daughter in the series.
Oh, okay. The
black girl.
Okay, I did not know that. It's funny because she was in Hollywood tradition was like 23, 24 when she did this. So she was much older than the actual age she was playing. But yeah, I did. I really dug this one from beginning to end. I thought it was a lot of fun. Also kind of felt like a potential like movie script too.
Yeah.
Which a lot of these kind of do that just feels like, okay, let's cut this movie script we have down to 44 minutes and let's get it in the TV format. But I dug it. It's really good actually, and a great cast, which really helped. I would have liked to have seen more from the dad. I thought if they went really dark, I was like, oh, cause I couldn't remember this one. And I was like, man, wouldn't it be fucking the way he kind of reacted when he found out she was looking into his files. I was like, oh shit, that wouldn't that be awesome if they pulled, but network TV, like dad's a child. Well, not a child murderer, but still technically a child murderer. That would have been awesome, but
it's not too late for the remake.
Not too late for the remake. Pugs, what did you think?
I'm with you, dude. I thought this was fucking fantastic. This, although not the best of Fear itself, it's definitely upper echelon for me. The story was cool, the twist was cool, and then just like when the fucking black girl reveals herself, it's not exactly mustache twirly, but she's just slightly over the top where she seems unhinged. I'm like, you're nailing it. I like the whole fucking thing. It was cool. They want to make a whole, like, you know, feature length. I'm ready. I think there's a good audience for that today, too. So yeah, I liked everything about it. What about you, Kruger?
For me, I was clock watching quite a bit in the middle. Twist did, you know, bring everything around for me and, you know, make me feel like my time was well spent. But at the same time, I don't think I would rewatch this one if I was to go back and, you know, revisit Fear itself. Nor is it one of my favorites. So I'd say it's about average for this one, too.
Okay. All right, Mr. Todd.
I'm with the other guys. I did really like this one. But I also kind of get where Kruger's coming from. But it was enough fun for me that I think he redeemed himself from the last one. He did.
Cool. It also feels like, because I watched that around the same night the new Chucky episode aired, and like, oh, this high school kids, I'm into this right now. This is fun.
Yeah.
I did. I really dug it. I totally forgot that Anna Kendrick was the lead actress in this one. So it had been a while, which was great. It's been great for this show in general because I did forget a lot about the stuff. I haven't watched them. Well, these I haven't watched since the DVD came out. So, yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and rate this one. I am, considering what they squeezed into the TV format, I think this is definitely one of the better episodes. So I give this one a 4.5. I loved it.
Right on. I'm wanted actually more. Also a 4.5. I could sweet. Be talking to a 5, but 4.5 is cool.
I am a 2.5 out of 5.
All right.
I'm a 4.
Cool.
Sweet, sweet. All right. 2 more. Moving on to our next one, which is episode 12, and it is Echoes from director Rupert Wainwright, I'll get to him, but director Rupert Wainwright and also writer Sean Hood. This is the writer, and this that never bodes well, the writer of The Fog remake, Halloween Resurrection.
Oh, man.
Although he did do the NWA, like I said, it is.
He did Straight Outta Compton?
No, actually, I apologize. I was going with writer. I'm sorry, director. My mind split. The director, Rupert Wainwright, did the Fog remake, and he also did the Straight Outta Compton music video. I put the Fog on the writer. That shouldn't be put on anybody.
That explains Busta Rhymes.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Does Straight Outta Compton music video make up for the Fog, though? Because I don't think it does.
No. That's unforgivable. Yeah. I think it's unforgivable.
That one.
No, I didn't say I was going to watch it. I said I forgive. Okay, I forgive him because of that. I'll go with that. Now,
fuck, that would be horrible.
They can make a new video. The song is great. He had nothing to do with the song.
I'd love to see an audio commentary on that, though. Like, how did this go so wrong? Like, that one I would definitely listen to the audio.
Let's not talk about the fog. That's going to be a whole thing.
Yeah. All right. Fall asleep three times in the same place.
So in Echoes, a friendly man discovers that he was a sadistic.
I'm just fucking with you, Dan. Go for it.
was a sadistic murderer in a previous life. All right. So this one, it does have an interesting cast. Aaron Stanford, who plays our lead, Steven, went on to star in the 12 Monkeys TV series, which is a great sci-fi show that I don't think got enough love. Although it went four seasons, so it did okay.
Also, Q from Impractical Jokers showed up on an episode or two.
Oh, wow.
Of
12 Monkeys. Yeah.
I do recommend that one for anybody that hasn't watched it. I thought that was a good show. Eric Balfour, who, of course, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, and lots of different things as well. Kruger, what did you think of Echoes?
I like the concept of, you know, this guy in the past life, you know, he's this like hitman, serial killer dude. Towards the end of this, the way they just basically repeated the same story, you know, just over again. I wanted something a little bit better than that to end this off, because I actually thought like some of the scenes we got with the therapist and stuff, like I thought all that stuff was pretty strong. But this is another one where it just had a really lackluster ending. And around the third act, it lost me. And I was really hoping for something better. But, you know, I think it's decent for a one-time watch. And I think there's going to be an audience for it. But it's a one-time watch for me, and that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Todd, what did you think of
Echoes? My boy Fatty got a shout out. So if you mention Fatty Arbuckle, it's over with me.
I remember popping for that too.
I'm glad no one got to say it before me. Yeah, it was all right. I mean, the Fatty Arbuckle comment made me enjoy it a bit more, but. I'm average on this one.
I think it could have benefited from throwing a little bit of a surprise at the end. Yeah. I enjoyed watching it. The cast again elevated this one, but it didn't elevate it to the level of you know, some of the previous episodes for me. Solid, just a solid episode. Nothing more, nothing less. And Aaron Stanford also had an arc on Walking Dead as well. Who's one I thought might become more of a regular, but so all right, we're blowing through them fast. I give this one a 3. I think it rose to slightly above average for me because of the cast. But how about you guys?
I don't think I went, but I'm a 2.5 because it's very middle of the road.
Okay. Oh, did I not tag you in?
It didn't matter. I don't have much to say. It was neither here nor there.
I went different directions.
If I wanted to talk, I would have spoke up. But
it was because you were doing the Echo gimmick on him. He was getting payback.
That's what it was.
I'm 2.5 also. I said average. So
yeah, I'm a 2.5 as well.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. All right.
What was your rating, Dan?
3.
Okay. So yeah. Just a little bit better.
For the cast, I mean, I was pretty close to a 2.5, but I did enjoy. If they just, this could have been like in the last 30 seconds if they had just given me something a little less obvious, but that is what it is. So all right, 13 episodes, we're finally here to the finale, which is The Circle, from director Eduardo Rodriguez and writer actually, writers. So this was co-writers Richard Kiesmar and Jonathan Sketch. We've talked a whole lot about Jonathan Sketch lately. And it's based actually on the Lewis Shiner novel. So from, I want to say the late 90s, I believe that came out, if you want to check that out. Yeah, definitely 90s, I believe. And in this one, a writer heads to a small town to try and recharge his creative juices. Unfortunately for him, the story he's working on seems to be happening to him and his wife, and it seems the darkness itself around their cabin is out to get them. So yeah, this is the director of a film, Carandiro, which made some noise years ago. And he also did Fright Night 2, the sequel to the remake. So that's kind of his horror pedigree, I guess. I don't even know
if I've seen that.
It's not great. But it's also... I don't consider it among the worst of the worst either. It's
don't bring good. It up to Chris, though.
No, yeah.
He'll tell you why you shouldn't like it.
Oh, there's plenty. I love it
already.
I just never, people always list that among the worst, of the worst. And I was like, well, no, I mean, it's a disappointing sequel, but anyways, so yeah, another one opens up with trick or treating. And then turning into one hell of a gut punch opener. I will say going into this one, I think Masters of Horror, this would have been even better because there were moments that they could have gone harder on some of the gore. But I love this episode. I do. This is another one that feels like a movie. And
well, it's a novel.
Maybe I wanted a little bit more. Well, yeah, but I mean, you could have adapted it into a 90-minute sort of thing, had a little more time with some of the characters. But I enjoy this quite a bit. I can't tell you how it stacks up to the novel, though, because I just don't remember. Pugs, since I didn't tag you in last time, what did you think of The Circle?
I think this one's pretty damn good. I think if you like Scare Me and the Evil Dead remake, there's a lot to they get from that put in this. Or maybe they took that from them. Oof, I don't know. This came out first. I liked where the whole story, the ending, how, you know, now you know the name of the circle. It's not the Circle of Friends. It's the constant rotation. Better than Echoes, by the way. The black goo at the end or whatever that shit was, rad. And the bloodthirsty makeup. That's just what reminded me of the Evil Dead remake. So I liked it. I liked all the characters. Pretty fucking cool. Cool way to spend an hour. Easy watch.
Yeah. Very epic. Probably one of the more epic episodes of Fear Itself. Yeah. What did you think, Kruger?
This one kind of reminded me. I forgot what the Masters of Horror episode was, but I think it was one of Toby Hooper's ones in like the first season, or maybe it was the second season, but I did like this one. I didn't think it was, you know, fantastic, but I liked the whole, you know, horror writer, his editor and his publisher having this come to Jesus meeting with him, and then next thing you know, they're getting a fucking book that's sending them to another dimension. This black goo is turning people into fucking zombies. Like, that was pretty cool. I like the look of, you know, the zombie black goo people too. That was a pretty good makeup. The CGI isn't the best, but it got the job done. It wasn't the worst either. So overall, I liked it, but it wasn't, you know, I didn't think it was fantastic, and it's not one of my favorites, but it was a decent way to end this series.
Todd,
how about you, Todd?
I'm with Kruger on this one. It was cool for what it was. I just didn't love it. I think the last couple episodes, or out of this batch, I think the Ethan Embry one was probably my favorite. But finished off the series. It was all right.
Right now. Yeah,
I figured this one would be more popular. I love kind of the whole feel of being trapped in the very cosmic horror, almost Lovecraftian in a sense, but I dug it. And it did make me want to go and read that book again, because I'm not 100% sure if I've read it. I feel like I did. and I'll have to compare it. But Kizmar has collaborated with Stephen King, so so as we kind of, well, we'll rate this one first and then we'll talk about it as a whole. What say you, Kruger?
I was tossed up between a 3 and a 3.5, but I'm a 3 out of 5.
Awesome. Cool. Pugs?
I am a 4.5 out of 5. I like this one a lot.
Sweet. Todd?
3 out of 5 also.
I'm a 4.5. Again, just I wanted a little bit more, and I could have gotten that out of a movie, but I think this was pretty ambitious and really cool for a network horror TV show. So now that we've reached a close on Fear Itself, general thoughts, not to rehash all the episodes by any means, but how do you think it stacks up with Masters of Horror?
Oh, Masters of Horror all the way.
Yeah.
Masters of Horror all the way. I wish they could have just did this as season 3 so they could have went a little extra with it, but what are you going to do?
Bear in mind, though, we have twice the amount of episodes of Masters of Horror, so there's more good.
Okay, then if we just compare season 1
by season,
yeah.
I still think some of the lows on, I mean, Fear itself definitely had its high. I would agree overall. I have to give the nod to Masters of Horror.
I'd go season 1, season 2, and then Fear itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the full list. But nonetheless, I do think this show's better than its reputation.
I don't think it's bad.
It was destined to fail on NBC.
At least if they would have still called it Masters of Horrors, it wouldn't be the first time a cable show's gone to, a network. So
does that hurt? Would that have hurt, though? Because a lot of the people that complain about this one is like, oh, well, there's no gore.
Shoot it expecting for the uncut versions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's at least 2 episodes alone where I'm like, that's worth watching the whole series. I don't think I'd probably find myself rewatching, a couple episodes, but I don't know if I would go back and rewatch the whole thing like I would with Masters of Horror.
Okay. Well, sweet. Well, it's been fun revisiting this one with you guys, and who knows, next year, I don't know, maybe Friday the 13th, the series. I still
we already decided these nightmares. Where you been, Dan?
Oh, well, we'll
you
see.
You don't have to do it.
Well, that how many episodes was that?
44.
Oh my god.
We don't have to do them all. We should have done the Halloween ones this year. Or at least the Freddy 7.
Oh,
7 episodes. He's all 44. Dan, start now.
There we go.
All right. Well, on that note, guys, we hope you're having a happy Halloween. And thanks for enjoying TV Terror Talk with you. Good night.
All right. Mr. Todd?
Good evening.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.
All right. And happy Halloween. And I'll see you in Disneyland.